This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3144 for Thursday, the 20th of August 2020. Today's show is entitled Pentesting: Insecure Object Reference, and is part of the series Privacy and Security. It is the first show by new host Cedric DeVroey, and is about 12 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is how an insecure object reference lead to a COVID-related data breach.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everyone, my name is Cedric and I'm recording this podcast to share a story with you about how I discovered the first major COVID-related data leak here in our country, Belgium. So I don't know what the situation is in your country, but here in Belgium, the entire COVID disease thing is pretty serious. We have a lot of cases. We also had a lot of people that died earlier this year. So yeah, we're pretty freaked out about this. And the result is that our government is taking really serious precautions. And one of these precautions is that you need to, for example, register yourself when you want to visit a restaurant or a bar. So when you do that, you need to leave your name and a phone number and email address. So in case the place that you are visiting ends up being infected that day, then a contact tracer could actually reach out to you to tell you that there is a chance that you might have been infected and that you should get yourself tested. So there's a lot of places here where your personal data gets registered now for this entire contact tracing thing. Now, of course, we hackers, we see a lot of potential problems with this. And so, yeah, this was actually the thing that I discovered yesterday. This was actually a disaster in the making. So yeah, what happened actually? It was about noon and a friend of mine who is a journalist at a major television station here in our country, he reached out to me and he said, oh hey Cedric, there is this new testing village in Antwerp, which is like a very big testing facility where people can actually drive in with their cars and then have themselves tested for COVID. It's really on a huge scale. It's also organized by local hospitals together with a firm that is specialized in event organizing, etc. So it's pretty huge. And what the journalist told me was that everyone that wants to get tested first needs to register his family or everyone that needs to be tested on the website of that project. So yeah, that sounded very interesting to me as a pen tester. So I went to have a look at that website, and yeah, I immediately saw that this company, although they did very much their best to organize things as properly as possible in this short time and in this entire chaotic situation, but yeah, I immediately saw that there were a lot of things that you could say about this from a security perspective. For example, the main page where a visitor landed after going to the URL was basically just a regular WordPress page. Nothing very spectacular. Well, WordPress has its problems, but if you configure it correctly, use it correctly, don't do any crazy stuff with components and plugins that you actually don't know anything about, then you should be fine. It's pretty decent software. But yeah, what I saw was that on that page, there was a button, register yourself here. So I clicked on that button, and then you're taken to a form where you can leave your personal data for if you want to get tested. So I went through this entire form, I filled it in, and this is actually where all the magic happened. First of all, this form was not running on the same web server as the WordPress landing page where people were arriving at. It was actually on some back-end system of this event organizer that was also working on this project. This system was previously used for measuring arrival times in running events and cycling events and etc. So it was there was already a whole bunch of software etc. on this server, which was totally not related to this COVID thing. So they were mixing up all kinds of things. This was already one no. If you're working with medical data, personal data on this scale, that's not things that you should actually do. You should separate your data. Anyway, so I filled in this form. I said, yeah, my name is Cedric, and I want to get myself tested, etc. And at the end of the process, I said submit, and it was very funny. You get a button on the screen, and it says, if you want to download your e-ticket that you should print and lay in your car in front of the windscreen, then click here, then click this button to print that ticket. So I did that, and what happened was that the moment you click that button, it actually opens a URL which downloads your ticket in PDF form. Oh, very nice. So yeah, I got this PDF with a QR code and all my personal data and the time that I booked to get myself tested. So fine, a lot of personal data, of course, but no problem so far. Then I looked into the URL that was behind that button that I just clicked. And what I saw in there was very funny. So I recognized the server, of course, where I was on. It was again the same server with that mix-up of software of that event organizer company. And what I saw in that URL was that it actually had a few parameters. So first of all, language, which was Dutch in my case. But that was not major important one. The next one was very important. It was a parameter called ID. It had a long but just numeric value, so it was basically about 24 digits maybe, so it was pretty long, but it was just numeric, so basically pretty easy to enumerate. And then there was a third parameter in the URL, which was a hash. And it looked like an MD5 hash, but what I always tend to do when I see this type of controls in URLs is I discard the parameters that I see one by one. So the first one that I removed from the request was this hash parameter, which normally you see this kind of scheme pretty often when in your URLs for downloading files. Basically what it says is you have this document ID, which you need, of course, to retrieve the file from the server, and you have this hash value, which is based on the content or the name or whatever random data that is related to this file. Now, if you know the file ID, but you don't know the hash, you can't retrieve the file. That is normally how this scheme should work. But what I did was I just removed that hash parameter from the URL, pressed enter to request my file, and bam, I got another PDF in my downloads. So basically what this was telling me was that the application was totally ignoring its own built-in controls. It didn't actually check this hash value. Now, as I said before, the document ID of the e-ticket was just a numeric value. So basically I went on and I said, okay, I selected the last 12 digits of this document ID, and I said, with a You have this tool from OWASP, the Z-Attack proxy. You can download it for free from zapproxy.org. And basically, it is just a man-in-the-middle proxy that allows you to see all the requests and responses going between your browser and an application, and it allows you to modify these messages. So this was what I was doing. I was browsing this application through Zap. And what I did was I selected the last 12 digits of this document ID, and in Zap I said replace these last 12 digits with random values and do this 1,000 times. And voila, I ran this attack, and like that I downloaded the e-tickets, or the reservations of other people. So basically, this was a very nice example of what we call an insecure object reference, because you have the object reference, the document ID, but there is no real actual check that validates that you actually have the right to read this document, that it's actually your data that you are consulting. So yeah, that's a major no-no. I wanted to share this story with you because it happens a lot. I'm a professional pen tester, and I see this in really no exaggeration. Almost every application that we test, if we find something major, most of the time this is one of those. It's a very common thing. You need some object. You say, oh, we have this API endpoint, and you give it an ID and you retrieve the object. Yes, of course. But if you don't build any checks to see if the requesting user actually has the right to request this data, then you're possibly in for a whole lot of trouble, especially if, like in this case, the application goes about very personal data, name, address, phone numbers, email address, and basically also in a medical context, because you are requesting a test for COVID. So yeah, this was pretty serious. So I immediately contacted the data protection officer that was listed on that website on their privacy disclaimer. I sent him a mail with all my findings, and within 10 minutes they called me back, and they were super friendly. They said, oh, this is awesome that you are letting us know about this, because yeah, this could have been really bad. So yeah, this morning they let me know we have fixed it overnight. So I went back and checked it out, and indeed they fixed the problem. So now if you request a file, you actually need to have the valid hash parameter in the URL, which is checked before you can actually retrieve the file. So yeah, that's a valid fix for this problem. So this was my first podcast on insecure object reference. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me through the comment sections on HBR or on Twitter or Facebook. See you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.